First, the field of genetics has advanced a lot in the last couple of decades, and that's led to cheaper and cheaper tests to look for disease risks and to map out our personal genealogy and ancestry. Led by companies like 23andMe and Ancestry, the market for direct-to-consumer genetic tests is growing. Here's an ad for the Ancestry DNA service.
I wanted to know who I am and where I came from. I did my Ancestry DNA, and I couldn't wait to get my pie chart. The most shocking result was that I'm 26% Native American. I had no idea. Just to know this is what I'm made of, this is where my ancestors came from, and I absolutely want to know more about my Native American heritage.
Sounds fun, but our next guest says we should think about the risks of sharing our personal genetic info. Jason Fletcher is a professor in the UW-Madison La Follette School of Public Affairs and the Department of Sociology. His book is called The Genome Factor. It looks at the latest discoveries in genomics and where they fit into the social sciences. Jason, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks very much, Rob.
Let's start with the positives here. There are a lot of breakthroughs and discoveries in the field of genetics. How are they improving our lives and our care?
I think they have a lot of potential to improve our lives and our care. Part of it is under what many listeners might have heard of as precision medicine, tailoring interventions, medications based on individuals' genetic variants. Some treatments work really well for some people based on what genetic code they have, and maybe less well on others. So that type of precision could increase outcomes for all kinds of illness outcomes.
In our daily lives, though, there's one decision we have to make, whether or not to do these DNA home testing kits for our genealogy, to look at our medical risks. What kind of things should we be thinking about before we sign ourselves up?
I think the main one is that it's relatively a permanent decision. It's not something that's very easily taken back. This is something about you that you, these letters in your genome that you would receive from 23andMe or a different company, those are the same letters you had as an embryo. They're the same letters you're going to have throughout your whole life. So once you know them, and in particular, once other people know them, they know something permanent about you. So it really is a once-in-a-lifetime type decision when you choose to do it, and you're making choices for both you and your relatives.
Right, because if you know something about me, you know something about people who are my siblings, parents, children.
That's right. And in particular, if you find, you know, lurking in your genetic code, devastating illnesses that haven't expressed themselves. Alzheimer's disease would be an example. That's something that you could diagnose when you're 0 days old, just born, that you live with your whole life. And it also tells you if you carry these letters in your genetic code that increase your risk for Alzheimer's disease, you got them from somewhere, you got them from your parents, and you likely share similar risk with your brothers and sisters, and you're likely will pass that risk on to your children. So when you donate your information, you're donating many, many other people's information.
So I might think if I did this and mailed my saliva in, no big deal. This is between me and the nice folks at the company that I'm paying some money to get this information. If I haven't read the terms that go along with it, what really happens? What kind of safety, security do I have with how that info is managed?
That's what's the great unknown, and that's why this being an irreversible decision is so important, because you can maybe reflect back on a couple months ago on the very large data breach on all our credit card reports. That was secure information, and all of a sudden, you know, many, many hundreds of, or more than 100 million people's social security numbers and so on were released. You might imagine that one data hack like this in the future, again, because this is permanent information about yourself, could happen, and therefore you might second guess your original decisions to contribute your saliva.
That's an illegal hack. Can these companies do things with this information either for commercial gain or for research purposes?
Exactly right. That's part of the point. And that might not get back to you as a person. So you might not be so worried about your own privacy. But you should realize that for many of these companies, when you donate your DNA information, you're oftentimes relinquishing that information in the purpose of science. And that has a lot of upsides that would potentially lead to new discoveries. But it's just something you should keep in mind as you're potentially making that choice.
Suppose somebody has my genetic information. So what? They can't open a credit card account with my DNA. What kind of negative impacts could that have on me in the future?
This is where it really depends on what sort of laws we're going to enact or continue. We have an act called GINA, the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act from 2008, that says employers and health insurers cannot use that information. So those are two groups who are barred from using that information. That was almost overturned 8 months ago in the House of Representatives. So that's maybe fragile, but it also doesn't outline other groups who could use that information. Life insurance companies, for example, aren't directly barred from using information on your risk of Alzheimer's disease, for example, in providing policies for you.
Now, this week, Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer called for the Federal Trade Commission to investigate these mail-in companies that we've seen the ads for, the genetic testing services, hoping to ensure that their privacy policies, he said, are clear, transparent, and fair to customers. What would you like to see happen there?
That's a great step. I don't have any real problem with that. I think it's really going forward as these companies and researchers and academic institutions use information to make predictions about our life outcomes that are important. That's everything from Alzheimer's disease to our weight over our life, to our risk of hospitalization, to our IQ and education. All that information is becoming more and more predictable from our genotype, from what we contribute to these companies. So we need to outline how that information can and cannot be used. Right now we have some narrow outlining of who cannot use that information, and what you're describing sounds like a good step. It's not a full set of steps on who can and can't use that information and for what purposes they can and cannot be used.
Talking to Jason Fletcher from UW-Madison, author of the book The Genome Factor, looking at genetic testing and what it means for our lives, really. And Jason, let's talk about another angle we haven't gotten into yet. We go and get a test. We look at our medical risks. And sometimes a genetic medical risk is a great thing to know. It's 100% sure thing. Way more often, as I understand it, it's really a maybe. It's a 1% difference. And that may stress us out a lot unnecessarily.
There's a lot of stresses we can learn from these genetic tests, all from the ones you're describing, which are humans have a hard time with small probability differences. If I tell you your risk of something really bad happening 20 years from now is a 1% increase based on your genotype, we have a hard time figuring out how to react to that. We also have a hard time figuring out how to react to news that's a little bit more devastating, which is that if you have two variants on a particular gene called APOE, that your lifetime risk of Alzheimer's is over 90%. You could know that when you're 15. And you add that to, do we have any treatments for you? Those are all issues to think about. So I certainly agree with there being a wide range of reactions to this type of information.
It seems like a pretty common story. We have a new technology. We do lots of stuff with it. Before we start thinking through the implications of it for things like ethics and privacy and safety, are we there again with genetic testing?
I think so. And the only thing that might be different this time is just a matter of degree, which is how fast this is moving. Every few months, there are new genetic discoveries that could be put in use that people might be interested in knowing about. And we just are way far ahead of the legislation and the rules that operate around these new technologies.
I don't know if you'll give a yes or no answer here, but presumably somebody listening now is thinking, yeah, maybe I'll do that test. Be cool to see where I came from, that sort of thing. What advice would you give them in making that decision?
I think ask other people the type of information, other people who've done the same thing, what type of information, maybe hear, think about their stories. Think about both the positive and the negative. Different companies give you different amounts, different types of information. 23andMe will give you, if you choose, risk of Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's. You really have to think about whether you want to know that information. And there's a purely more recreational use, the ancestry-only type, that you might be very interested in that. So I think it's mostly thinking about the types of information you actually want and probably talking to other people who have already done it when making your choice.
Briefly, as we wrap up, what's one big story in genetics testing that we're not talking about?
I think one story that we will be talking about in the future is how we're going to allow this information to be used in selecting embryos in IVF and in vitro fertilization. All these genetic tests for disease and IQ, for that matter, and height and blue eyes, you can do that on embryos on a cell that's a day old and use that to select the what embryo you're going to implant for your pregnancy. There's no regulation on this. So any regulation would be a step forward. forward or any thinking about what regulations we actually want is a step forward. So we're, in that sense, way behind.
A lot to think about. I'm sure we'll talk to you about these issues again, Jason. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
We've been talking to Jason Fletcher. He's a professor in the UW-Madison's La Follette School of Public Affairs. He's also a professor of sociology. He's the author of the book, The Genome Factor. We've been talking about genetic testing and some of the frontiers of genetic research and the potential implications when they come to sending in those tests. You can let us know what you've done if you've made this decision yourself. Email ideas@WPR.org and share your story, but not your genetic data, please.